The following program is a presentation of Short Track America.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
Welcome to another edition of the ASA Fast Lane. I'm Jack Smith, and Terry Wall, how you doing, Terry?
I'm doing good, Jack. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine, man. We're going to talk to a young lady tonight, Allison Quick from Iowa, who also, besides racing in the ASA Late Model North, she also races in the local divisions out there in, of all things, Dirt Modifieds.
Wow, that's the Dirt Modifieds. That's the first time I've ever heard a woman driving Dirt Modifieds. It's pretty fast stuff there.
410 cubic inch motors, I believe, but that's something I'll ask her about, and we'll get into that a little bit later. We're also going to talk to Tyler Townsend out in Texas. I'll tell you, he's got some smart people with him, and when he went to make his qualifying run up there at Watermelon Capital in the ASA Southern Division race, he came down the straight and, you know, to take the first checkered green flag on his first lap of the qualifying run. He spun out and he got the car sideways so it would not go past the start finish line.
Mm-hmm.
So he's sitting there almost to the start-finish line, backed the car up, and drove around backwards all the way back around the track to the start-finish line. And that was pretty nice to see that they were really on the ball with that. So he still got his two laps in. But we're going to talk.
One of the questions I'm going to ask him if it is a family operation.
Yeah, that was a pretty interesting little event there. And I'll tell you, in the ASA Challenge Division race, they just keep having different winners. It's absolutely amazing. There's no driver as like just going out and winning all the races. Travis Dassau continues to lead the points, but your guy that you know pretty good, Eddie Hoffman, he's only 26 points behind.
Right.
And Colt James, who won the first race of the year in the Challenge Division out in San Antonio, he's still in fourth. Mm-hmm. And rookie Derek Thorne is 20 points behind in second.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie Menard, which I'm sure you know Charlie, he's about 80 points out in fifth. So it's a pretty tight... It's a pretty tight deal there, and
I'm amazed about the Crate Motors and making tight racing. I'm a proponent of cost efficiency, and ASA's well underway to being one of the premier short track series in America.
Yeah, out at Newton, Iowa Speedway, which is a 0.875 bank track. That's where the last race was.
Right.
And once again, they had they had the big field, and I'll tell you, it's pretty amazing. It really, really is. I just continue to be amazed at the degree of competition, the how close it all is, and the number of cars. They're still expecting, the latest update is they're still expecting upwards of 200 cars to show up at Bristol.
And I can't wait to go to the Bristol race. I mean, that's one of the first races I'm going to go to. And as you have mentioned about the big car count, that's part of the cost of racing. They lowered the cost because of the crate motors.
Yes.
And now there's more cars.
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, on that, a note on that Bristol event, the Wall brothers will be there. Not only will Terry Wall be there, but Skip Wall, who is a veteran of the covering Hooters Pro Cup for Karnak.com and Short Track America, will be there, and so it'll be the Wall team.
Yeah, we're going to have to see if we're related.
Well, I won't even go there. That's for a different show. But yeah, Skip's a real good guy, and he's made a bit of his name for himself covering the Hooters Pro Cup series over the last 5 years, and we're gradually getting him to take more and more of a look at the ASA, and like you have, he's liking what he's seeing.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's and as I understand the information you've been giving me, Jack, the gentleman running the ASA, his name eludes me at the moment. Help me out with that.
What's that? Hey, hang on just a minute here. Hang on just a second. Okay. Oh, yeah, you were talking about Ron Varney and Sandy Varney?
Ron Varney and Sandy Varney. Their technical inspection is one of the best ones that you've ever witnessed. And you've been asking all of the drivers that we've had on the show that, what do they think of the technical inspection? And they all love it because they're not biased to nobody. They're really consistent on no matter who's the driver. If you're wrong, you're wrong. And we know in the big series NASCAR that's not always the case.
That is not always the case. And I'll tell you another thing. We talked to I had the opportunity to talk to my good friend Rick Day, who has been out in Texas. As a matter of fact, he's been the general manager at San Antonio Speedway, which closed a couple of months ago, not too long after the ASA was there. As a matter of fact, they had the owner decided for this. That's a whole story in itself. And Rick is going to be a guest on Real Racing USA next week. And as a matter of fact, he went, since he had some time off and he's looking for another job, he went and helped out Ron Varney and Sandy Varney at Iowa Speedway. And in a little bit here, I think we're going to spend a few minutes with him.
Okay.
If I can get a hold of him. I'm not positive I can, but I just happen to think he would be, it would fit right in with what we're talking about here. And how about we take a break and we come back talk to young Tyler Townsend?
Looking forward to it.
All right. Be right back.
Evergreen Development Construction Company of Tampa is your professional site development leader along the Gulf Coast of Mexico. From tree removal to complete land preparation, Evergreen Development Construction Company prepares your land purchase for complete development, including drainage, utilities, and road construction. One call gets it all. Evergreen Development Construction Company, 813-478-8847. And watch for the Evergreen Development Construction Company late model and open wheel modified at races near you. They're fast, and so is Evergreen Development Construction Company. 813-478-8847. Evergreen.
All right, we have with us now Tyler Townsend from the great state of Texas. How you doing, Tyler?
Pretty good.
All right.
How you doing, Tyler?
Good.
Yeah, Tyler, you're talking to Jack Smith and Terry Wall from Short Track America's ASA Fastlane show. Are you having the time of your life or what?
Yes, sir. It's been pretty good this year. Didn't think we'd be here, but we did.
Yeah.
Well, the time of his life, Jack, he's only 14. he probably hasn't had the time of his life yet.
All right, Tyler, I'm going to start this with a question. We'll get this out of the way right off the bat. I've been wanting to ask you this. When you were up at Watermelon Capital Speedway for the race, the last Southern Division race, You had a little adventure in your qualifying run. Tell us about that, huh?
Yes, sir. I guess I just got a little excited. We had a fast car all weekend and just asked too much for it in the qualifying, but we still got our lap in and qualified like 13th or something.
Yeah, did you... You went down to... Didn't you have a little bit of a spin out going down to take your first lap?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Now, did you know that you needed to stop and drive all the way back around the track, or did your was your crew all over that telling you what to do?
Yes, sir. The crew chief was telling us where to go.
Yeah. Who is your crew chief?
Chuck Moore.
Yeah?
Yes.
Is that part of the development team you work with?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Tell us about that deal. How did you get into it, and what's that like?
We used to race a dirt car, the Mod Lights, and we've been looking at going to asphalt for a year, and our dirt guy worked at Total Performance and told us about Chuck. So we got a car and went up there, and it just started from there.
Yeah, where was where's
the work? Did they sign you to a contract, a development contract?
We didn't really do no contract. This is like their first developmental deal, so we've been trying it out and seeing how it's doing.
And how are they supposed to help you? They're supposed to help you get moving along towards maybe possibly signing with a NASCAR team?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's cool. That's cool. Now, from what I understand, you were racing in dirt. Is that what you, did I understand that right? You were racing in dirt?
Yes, sir. We started go-karts when we were five, and then we raced Mod Lights, and then we're in Modified a couple times.
Yeah. Was that
What track do you race at? What did you start out at there in Texas?
In go-karts, we traveled all over. We raced all over the world, or the state. And the dirt cars, we just race around here, mainly in, like, Texas and Arkansas.
What track in Texas would be your home track?
Well, there's really no home track. They shut it down a couple of years ago. But we usually run in Arkansas.
So you're pretty close to the Arkansas border?
Couple hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you out of San Antone? Is that right?
Longview.
Longview. You're not a Spurs fan, are you?
So, Tyler, you started your first deal in asphalt late model racing. I understand was at the World Series of Asphalt Racing at New Smyrna Speedway.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Did you find that difficult? I mean, that's a pretty big step to make to be your first place to ever race. Terry and I are both very familiar with New Smyrna Speedway, and that's run really, really fast racetrack. And plus, this year they had it paved. It was brand new pavement. So was that an adventure? Tell us what that was like.
Yes. We didn't even plan until like a week before. So we went down there and we're fast all week. We finished top five every night. We're the only car there out of every class that finished top five every night. They had a 50-point bonus if you registered early. We didn't do that, so we got third in the overall points, but we won the earned points deal. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, the World Series of Speed. Did you race against a young man named B.J. McLeod at that track?
No, I think B.J. was racing. We're talking the late models here, Terry, I believe, and not the super lates. These are the late models. Yeah, but...
Different animal.
Is that a little bit different animal, yeah. Is that something that... what was the decision? How did you decide to go to that particular place to start racing in late models?
It was really just a whole week of racing. We could get used to the car and everything, and 30-lap features every night, so it just all worked out real good.
Yeah.
Just wanted to get some seat time, Tyler.
Yes, sir.
And so you raced. You raced all of the. Of the events in the late models?
Yes, sir.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a good track to learn on. I mean, it's high speed, a lot of competition, and to finish in the top five in all six nights, that's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, you're racing against guys like Dalton Zier. You're right, and Dalton's running in the ASA late model series, and Dustin Skinner, son of Mike Skinner, and Dustin Dunn and Mike Murphy, and those are some pretty good guys.
Oh yeah, yeah. Are you running? Are you going to run all the races in ASA this year, Tyler?
We're just going to run all the southern races back on schedule. I think we're going to race at Bristol and maybe Milwaukee.
Yeah, those are two good famous tracks. You get a lot of good seat time at those two tracks.
What has been the hardest thing for you to adjust to, Tyler? I mean, coming from go-karts and you know, I'm sure that racing on dirt has, especially in something like the modifieds, has done nothing but help you. What's been the toughest thing for you to adjust to racing in the ASA?
Probably... the number of laps we run. I mean, we never run that much in dirt. And just really not overdriving it, because they're so easy to overdrive compared to the dirt.
Yeah. Well, that's what, and as a matter of fact, many of the veterans, Terry, that we've talked to this year, guys that have a few more laps under their belt than, say, Tyler does, that's the one thing they say, that the younger drivers will have a hard time with these cars wanting to overdrive them into the turns. And interestingly enough, we talked to Patrick Sheltra last night on Real Racing USA, and Tyler, Patrick has a dirt background. He's been racing dirt late models for quite a number of, at least 5 or 6 years, and with some pretty good success. And he's now racing in ARCA on the asphalt cars. And also, we know, you know, Jeff Choquette, who you raced against in the ASA late models, was a pretty accomplished dirt late model driver, won championship over at Thundercross in Florida. And these guys actually have found that it's been a tremendous help to them on asphalt having the dirt experience, because they can do things in the corners that maybe a guy who is not used to that experience may be afraid to pull off. Have you found that you can be a little more aggressive maybe than some of your counterparts that way?
Yes, sir. The asphalt, it just feels like it has so much more grip when you get into those cars, so it helps you everywhere, really.
Oh, so you get a feeling of like more grip on the track than even on dirt, huh?
Yes, sir. You feel like you have more control of the car and everything.
Wow. What do you think of that, Jerry?
As I know, as a lot of the NASCAR guys now have their background in dirt, Ryan Newman, Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, all those guys started on dirt. So I really feel that if you have your first years on dirt, you're way ahead of the game as far as somebody else starting out on asphalt.
Dirt and flat asphalt tracks are probably two of the best things to do. You notice there's so many of the guys that are really, really been successful over the years, long time success guys like Dick Anderson and people like that, they all started on flat tracks, you know?
Oh, yeah. Flat tracks and dirt is the way to go. I mean, if you go to a super speedway school, you're not likely to get signed up by a development team.
So you go to school, regular public schools, Tyler?
Yes, sir.
What grade are you in?
I'm in eighth grade.
This is probably a loaded question, but do you find yourself in school thinking about being on the racetrack?
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine, Jack, in eighth grade, 14 years old, driving a late model in a huge series like ASA?
Yeah, I get some of the absolute. I mean, these guys and Tyler's a part of the group. These are the top young race car drivers in the country for asphalt racing. There's no doubt about it.
And I obviously NASCAR is your gold, Tyler.
Yes, sir.
And have you had anybody shown you any interest yet? Is this development team that you're working with is supposed to help you with that?
Yes, sir. We know one of the guys, that Bobby Ginn. He's their developmental driver guy, and he used to live like 30 minutes from where we live now. And one of the guys that come to the races that helped us used to be real good friends with him. So.
Yeah, Craig Kinzer is one of their development drivers, of the famous Kinzer family in the world of Outlaws. I know he's one of their development drivers. So
Tyler, when you're not racing or going to school, tell us a little bit about yourself. What other hobbies do you have? What things interest you in the world?
I got a four-wheeler. I usually go ride four-wheelers with my friends. Sometimes I'll go fishing, just hang out, really.
Yeah. Yeah, when we were trying to do this interview last week and you were out fishing, what do you fish for out there in Texas?
Bass.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's well, cool. I fish for anything I can catch.
Yeah. There you go.
There's a lot of drivers that are fishermen in the NASCAR series, that's for sure.
So, Tyler, now here's the deal. You've got this race under your belt now. The South Georgia Motorsports Park race is coming up. During the week and during this off time between races, are you involved actively in preparing for that race, or are you just how does this work?
Yes, sir. I usually run every day. Usually run about 2 miles and work out as much as I can.
Really?
Do you work on the car at all?
No, sir. The car is housed Tennessee, so I don't get to hardly ever see it, but dirt cars are here that I usually mess with those during the week too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So will you race any of the dirt races before like during the, when you're not racing asphalt?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I gotcha. How is that going this year?
We've only raced it twice and finished second both nights.
So yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's cool. So now, when you go to South Georgia Motorsports Park on June the 2nd at up there in Cecil, which is right outside Valdosta, hopefully the fires will settle down before we get there. But so you'll just come in on Thursday or Friday and get ready then, huh?
Yes, sir. And plus, we just built a new car, so we'll have a new car there. There.
Yeah. Who sponsors your deal, man?
My dad, Big Texas Auto Parts.
Big Texas Auto Parts?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Everything's big in Texas.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Do you follow the racing there much in Texas, like as to the other tracks and things that go on in Texas racing?
There's really not that much here, but I don't really have much to follow.
Yeah, I gotcha. That's amazing. As big a state it is, you'd think there'd be a lot more racing there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're into football there in Texas.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I think a couple famous drivers in NASCAR are from Texas.
Isn't there the Labonte boys?
I don't know any other Texas drivers, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's two good ones.
Yeah.
If you're going to have two, that's two good ones to have. Hey, Tyler, what are your expectations for the race coming up? And then when you go to New Smyrna, of course, that'll be a little more familiar. I'm sure you probably haven't raced at South Georgia Motorsports Park, have you?
No, sir.
Yeah. And then, but you'll have a little more familiarity when you get to New Smyrna. What is it that you need to do to feel like you actually were successful at those two races?
To probably top fives or ten, top ten.
Yeah, gotcha.
Are you gonna at the like tracks like Bristol and Milwaukee? Do you think your team will let you go at least a day early or so to test? Since them, especially Bristol, since it's a high speed track.
Oh yes, sir. We'll probably test. Go up there for a couple of days, probably a month before the race or so.
Oh, okay, okay.
It sounds pretty cool, and you're excited. Your dad's excited, and probably your whole family. Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have two sisters. One's older and one's younger.
What do they think about all this stuff?
They care, but they just really don't understand it.
They're probably jealous of all the attention, huh, Tyler?
That's right, because when you get up there at South George Motorsports Park, you have to have your cards all ready, and people going to be asking for your autograph, young man.
No.
That should be good.
Do you practice in your autograph, Tyler?
No, sir.
Well, you got to learn how to sign like 100 autographs in 5 minutes.
Yeah, because it's going to happen, man. That's cool. I'll tell you.
Bristol.
Huh?
Especially at Bristol.
Yeah, that should be fun. I'll tell you what, Tyler, I appreciate you spending some time with us on the ASA Fast Lane. I wish you all the success, and we will see you up at South Georgia Motorsports Park. And I know you're probably more anxious than I am, and I'm pretty anxious, so we'll see you there.
Nice talking to you, Tyler.
All right, thanks for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
You're welcome.
All right, Terry, there's another youngster, I'm telling you.
Another impressive youngster. That's right, Jack. They keep coming, don't they?
Yep, and the amazing thing is, and you and I have both seen this, a lot of these kids now, people say, well, you know, and like the young lady, Allison Quick, she's 20 years old.
Right.
And these guys don't necessarily have a lot of media experience talking in front of the media and that sort of stuff, but you know what? We've seen this over and over. As the kids mature on the track,
yep.
they tend to get much better at all this. And before you know it, they're not kids anymore. They're young men and women, and they're out there competing for every bit as much as the veterans who've been doing it for 20 years.
Right, and Mr. The gentleman we just
interviewed. Tyler Townsend.
Yep, and he is only 14 years old. Can you imagine, like we were talking earlier, think back to what we were doing at 14 years old.
Let's see, that was...
high-powered race car, that's for sure.
They had cars back when I was 14. That's right, they did have cars.
Did they have doors on them?
I'll tell you what, the first car I ever drove with a stick shift in it was a 396 Chevelle Supersport, 4-speed on the floor.
Bet you still had it.
It wasn't mine.
No.
Guy said he needed me to go down to the store and buy him something. Here, use his car.
Uh-huh.
I had no idea how to drive this thing because I'd never driven a stick shift, you know?
Right.
But those cars back in that day, all the cars were fast.
My first car was a 65 Mustang.
Yeah. Now my first car was a 1962 Catalina, Pontiac Catalina, and that was it was only 1960. It was only 3 or 4 years old. It wasn't very old.
Yeah, 1962. You are older than me, aren't you?
Yeah, a little bit. I'll tell you what. Let's get off that before we get ourselves in trouble. We'll take a break, and
I agree with you there.
I'm going to see if I can chase down our buddy from San Antonio. We'll see if we can get a hold of him and see what his impressions of the ASA were from the official standpoint.
All right.
Be right back after these messages from our sponsors, Evergreen Construction and some of the other folks that helped make all this possible. Be right back.
Car CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNet.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNet gets it done.
Hi, welcome back to the ASA Fast Lane. Terry Wall, Jack Smith, and we were fortunate enough to go back out to Texas and track down Rick Day, who formerly was the general manager out at San Antonio Speedway, and who spent last week up in Iowa with the ASA as an official. What do you make of it all, Rick? Welcome to the show, first of all.
Well, I appreciate you calling. Great program, and glad to be part of it.
Cool. So how was your – Terry, do you know Rick Day? Have you guys met?
I think I've met Rick out Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Yeah.
You've been there during the old ASA, wasn't you, Rick?
No, I wasn't through the old one. I just worked for Sandy and Ron Lee's last two shows. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what was the – a lot of the Florida people might remember Rick Day from he ran the highly successful Southern Automobile Racing Association, or known as SARA, series in Florida, one of the most successful late model and modified series ever to run in Florida. And he went out and played with the ASA, did some work for them out in Iowa. Tell us about your experiences, Rick.
Well, we did the first show at that. It's Hawkeye Downs there in Cedar Rapids, and really had a good time there working with ASA teams and the officials. It's really good to get back on the road again. You know, I traveled a lot with Hooters and the Extreme Dirt Car Series, so it was really fun traveling and seeing the different sites and meeting the different people again. We had a good time. The race was excellent, good car count. And then I got the privilege to stay over the week and go to Iowa Speedway at Rusty Wallace's new place there in Newton, Iowa. That was an awesome facility. Great racing. Just unbelievable. The facility that they have put together out there. I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah, that's what we hear. What
this is the Rick Day that used to run Sarah?
Yeah.
Small world.
Oh, we know each other really well.
Okay.
I already knew that, Rick. I already knew that. I just go let him play catch up for a while.
Yeah, I'm the big guy.
Terry used to do some work for BJ McLeod back in the day.
Okay, I know who he is. Yeah, yep. I remember him.
Yeah, there you go. And
hang up on us now, Rick.
No, I wouldn't do that. I stay. Just because I left Florida because of the politics don't mean I don't miss my friends and everything was back down there.
So tell us about the racing at Hawkeye Downs, man. How did it go?
It was pretty good. We ran a 200-lap race there. We ran it on a Saturday night versus their normal Friday night. I think it may have hurt us a little bit on the crowd, but all in all, the sponsors were happy. Great race. Tore up a little bit of equipment, which is to be expected in one of them type shows, but all in all, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
As long as the sponsor's happy, everybody's happy.
Yep. We had it was sponsored by Castle Motors, which, of course, you know, is Landon Castle's father, which is developmental driver that my boss out here, Terry Dickerson, has signed and is now signed with Hendrick Motorsport. And Gary St. Amant was there, which everybody knows Gary St. Amant. So it was really nice spending the weekend with those two. And then, of course, all the stars that the ASA is developing right now. There's a bunch of great young kids that's got a lot of potential and a lot of room to grow in that deal that a lot of these NASCAR teams need to start looking at real close.
Well, you know, that's why you know, we've been covering on CarNet.com and Short Track America. We've devoted a lot of resources over the last decade to covering the Hooters Pro Cup. And last year, that we saw the handwriting on the wall and realized that all of these youngsters that we were aware of, not just from Florida, but all over the South particularly, it turns out they're from all over the country. But we decided to make a concentrated effort to cover this series because we really believe that this is the future of short track racing, especially in, you know, short track racing in this country.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you look at the age and the roster of the drivers out there, I mean, if you're over 25, you're the old man in the series.
Oh, you know, as a matter of fact, you know, Wayne Morris, I've been joking with Wayne to tell him he's like the Bobby Deal of the AS, or from Hooters, Bobby Gill. He's the Bobby Gill of the ASA, you know. He's 39 years old, man. He's an old man.
Well, the oldest one right now on the national deal is Eddie Hoffman out of, I think he was up around Iowa or somewhere like that. I know he runs Grundy County on a regular basis. And
he's from Hoffman Estates, Illinois.
Yeah, he's from Illinois.
Okay, I say that's where Grundy County is. But I think he's the oldest guy on the tour right now, and he's 46, so he's like the old man of the deal there, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it is absolutely amazing. And now I understand that was there a problem with the motors at the other race on the 19th? They haven't released.
I'm not sure. I know periodically, just part of the, you know, it's a Craig Motor Series. They're supposed to be still up to certain specs. And our tech official, Russ, he's a pretty good tech man. He's on his toes, and he has some questions about the motor, so we decided we confiscated the top three motors and took them to have them dynoed. I don't know if they've got the results back yet or not.
No, nope. Well, they haven't been published.
I went out of the loop on that deal, but I know we did take the motor of Jacob. I can't pronounce that guy's last name. Save my life. Jacoby, Travis Dassault, and Ryan Hansen.
I gotcha.
We took the three motors out of those for a second and third to just make sure everybody's still playing on a fair level playing field like they're supposed to.
Yeah. Well, absolutely.
Well, I'm liking this ASA series more and more all the time.
I'm too. I'm working on a deal with them right now to maybe get to work some more races with them, but we never know. Just got player cards and see what happens. But it's a really great series, great people to work with, and they've got a good little game plan going in. And there's some other stuff going to come up here in the future that might make it even more lucrative to be part of.
And you probably got it. Did you get a chance to run into your Bert Thomas?
I haven't seen Bert Thomas yet this year.
Yeah,
he didn't go to any of the two races, but he was out at our place, I believe, at the beginning of the year in March for the first show.
Right,
and he's scheduled for this weekend to work there in Georgia, I believe it is.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's an official with the ASA. Bert Thomas is. He's at all the Southern Division races for sure, and quite a few of the Challenge Division races. Bert's a real good guy. Was a race director, a very successful race director in the past, and the ASA is just full of good talent all up and down the board, not just on the track, but in the officiating as well. I mean, we had Matt Pryor on last week on the ASA Fast Lane, and as Terry can attest, this guy doesn't, he must never sleep.
I guess not. He knows it all. I joke with him, give him a hard time, says, Matt, we pay you by the day, not by the word.
Yeah, he pumps it out, man, I'm telling you. It's absolutely fascinating.
Do you think, Rick, that I know that you ran the series and you ran it very successfully, and I believe it was one of the best series that Florida ever had. But do you feel like the ASA going to Crate Motors and making it cost efficient is part of its success or all of its success?
I think it's a major part of it. I don't know if it's all of it. I mean, bottom line is the drivers have got to feel welcome. They got to feel like they're a part of it and that they're wanted. You can't just assume and treat them like dogs. I mean, that's the bottom line. They're your customer. We need them. They don't need us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the reason why I was successful with the Sarah series is I knew that I needed the drivers. They didn't need me. There's other places that those guys can go race. They're the professional athlete that is paying their own way, which is screwed up in my opinion. It's the only professional sport that you know of that the professional athlete pays his own way.
It's definitely Bass Ackwards.
To get into a football game, it's ridiculous. In our industry, they do.
Yeah.
So they're our customer. We need them. They don't need us.
Do you think, Rick, that a Crate Motor Series, like when you had your modified, that was my favorite part of your series, was the modified. Do you think a Crate Motor Series would be successful not only in Florida, but in other parts of the country to keep the cost down and gain more contestants.
Yes, I know the Storm Pace Series has got a good deal going on dirt. You know, when I had the Sarah Series going back in the 90s, whatever it was, I forget when I shut it down, 4 or 5 years ago, whatever it was, on the late model side of it, or limited late model, I knew at that point the motocross was getting way out of hand. And I wanted to do something on a spec tech motor, okay? And I had gone to Edelbrock. Was it Edelbrock? Yeah, I guess it was Edelbrock. Anyhow, and there was a set of heads that they was going to spec for me and casting it for Sarah and the whole nine yards. And it was going to be a deal that the teams basically could put the deal back into the teams building the motors and cut the cost and all that. And I got shot down on it by the mafia, but we'll leave it alone at that point. And but I really believe that the way things are going, that somebody has to try and control the cost somehow in some aspect. I mean, you're never going to save a race of money. They're sometimes your own worst enemy. I hate to say it, but if you save them $100 on one deal, then they're going to go out and buy a $200,000 trailer home to get it to the racetrack. So, I mean, exactly. It's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah, that's just part of it, sure. But, you know, with these...
In the long run, the Crate Motor Series is beginning to be more and more of a valuable type entity, and I think it's really going to be the thing of the future.
Well, too, you know, back to the original question that Terry was asking, it would seem to me that, you know, the timing is just the right timing. There's so much young talent, partly because of the explosion of NASCAR in the last 10 to 15 years, and just some, the internet, I'm sure, has had a major effect on it. You have so much young talent out there, and, you know, it's almost ridiculous that there's only 43 starting spots on a major race on Sunday. I mean, the talent all up and down from the ARCA series on down is just tremendous. And there is so much young talent. And you take Crate Motors, which because of the cost factor is really cool, makes it much more viable for owners and sponsors and everybody else. And all this young talent, and you throw somebody like Ron Varney and Sandy Varney, who have shown without any question that they are going to run a professional operation and dot all the I's and cross all the T's. And I think it all adds up to the ASA Late Model Series as one big success.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely doing something right. I mean, how many series do you know that are able to go to Iowa Speedway in August? I believe it is. They're going to Bristol Motor Speedway. I mean, that's they're expecting 100 cars for that thing. I mean, that's going to be the crown jewel for the weekend. And I mean, it's going to be unbelievable that weekend. And just the track that they're getting to go to, the history behind it, it shows that their dedication and everything is to the series and to the sport. So
yeah, you're talking Bristol, Hickory. I mean,
Milwaukee.
You know,
Milwaukee Mile.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very cool.
Legendary racetracks that they're able to go to. And that just shows something to the status and the caliber of the series. Because, I mean, just any fly-by-night series, Bristol, you know, Bruton Smith and them, they're not going to let something like that go into Bristol and just be a fly-by-night deal. So there's got to be something there, too. So it just proves that they are in the right direction in the industry and the sport.
Well, even Rex Robbins and his son, had the original ASA series, never ever went to tracks like Bristol and Milwaukee. I think they went to Milwaukee, but
yeah.
Robbins built a good series, produced Mark Martin, Alan Kowicki, Rusty Wallace, Dick Trickle, and all them guys.
I'm telling you.
I believe the ASA series now will do the same thing, Rick. They will produce the stars of tomorrow like they did in the past.
Mm-hmm. What
even Light's already up there. I think he's driving for Yates on a limited deal, and that's the past ASA champion. Kelly Byers, I know, is the name that was thrown around over the weekend, but he's a former ASA guy that's driving, I guess, a truck for the Wood Brothers deal, and on a part-time basis. So there's already some drivers, and once again, Landon Castle signed with Hendrick. Mm-hmm. I mean, right there just shows you that the caliber is coming. once again from the ASA Late Model Series again, as it was in the heydays when the Robbins family owned it.
That's very cool. Now, will you be have you got a deal to come to? You'll be at South Georgia Motorsports Park for the Southern Division race?
I'm not sure just yet what's going on. We're still working out our deal to see if that happens.
Okay.
I'm supposed to know something the next couple of days. If I'm either going to Michigan or, to be honest with you, I'm coming back to Florida to raise havoc down there.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. For anybody who's Ron Varney, if you're listening, get this guy on board, man. Lock him up because otherwise somebody going to snatch him up. And I'll tell you, for fans that are, you know, a lot of the guys that maybe listen to this show from over the next couple of weeks, because this is obviously people listen to this show many, many times on the archive version of it. We're going to talk to Rick Day in detail next week, next Tuesday night on Real Racing USA, and we'll get into some of the politics of racing that isn't necessarily appropriate for this show. And I look forward to it, as I'm sure Rick does.
Oh yeah, I love it.
I'm going to have a politically correct question for Rick next week on the show.
There you go. All right, Rick, appreciate you spending some time with us on the ASA Fast Lane, and hopefully we'll catch you up at Cecil, Georgia on June 2nd.
Well, we'll hope so. If not, we'll see you in Florida sometime.
See you soon, man. Thank you.
Anytime y'all need any help or holler, need somebody to fill some dead air time, just give me a holler.
Okay, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Rick. Good talking to you again.
You too. Y'all have a good one.
Okay, bye. What's he talking about, dead air time? This is the ASA Fast Lane. This is not... Hey, I'll tell you what we're going to do here.
Dead air time.
Huh?
When me and you talk, we have dead air time.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll tell you what we'll do here is we're going to talk to Allison Quick. And it's a young lady, 20 years old, races dirt modifieds, and the ASA North Division and some of the Challenge Divisions races. We're going to talk to her right after this break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
Evergreen Development Construction Company of Tampa is your professional site development leader along the Gulf Coast of Mexico. From tree removal to complete land preparation, Evergreen Development Construction Company prepares your land purchase for complete development, including drainage, utilities, and road construction. One call gets it all. Evergreen Development Construction Company, 813-478-8847. And watch for the Evergreen Development Construction Company late model and open wheel modified at races near you. They're fast, and so is Evergreen Development Construction Company. 813-478-8847. Evergreen.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pickled Pig's Feet Eater.
Mr. Pickled Pig's Feet Eater.
Ignoring all you know about pigs and where they live and what they step in, you look at their pickled paws and say, yummy.
Look and taste it.
Craving only the most daring meal, you pass up the cow tongue, skate by the head cheese, dismiss the Rocky Mountain oysters.
Rocky Mountain oysters.
But a pig's foot soaked in pickle juice, now that's good eating.
Same real pickle.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Pickled Pig's Feet Eater, because it takes guts to eat those feet.
Thank you, Mr. Pickled Pig's Feet Eater.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay, Allison Quick has been racing in the ASA Late Model Series, and she also races in dirt modifieds when she finds the time. I believe every Wednesday. Allison Quick, welcome to the ASA Fast Lane. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
We're doing great. You have to go racing tomorrow night, don't you?
Yeah, we're hoping so. They're calling for rain, but we're not sure what's going to happen yet.
Gotcha. So, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're out in Iowa, is that right?
Yeah, I live out in Southwest Iowa.
Okay, and you're racing in the ASA late model. How did you make the jump from dirt modifieds to the ASA on asphalt?
I started out on dirt racing go-karts. We only have two asphalt tracks in Iowa, being the Iowa Speedway now and Hawkeye Downs in Cedar Rapids. So the main place for us to race is on a dirt track, and people just kept telling me if I wanted to advance my career, I had to get on asphalt. So we got a team and started on the ASA series last year.
Yeah. So what? Tell us a little bit about your racing background.
I started in go-karts when I was 8 years old. And I think I raced go-karts for 4 years and moved up to the Benny Cups MMRA and raced those, national champion in 99, and took a couple years off to play softball, and I kind of raced INX Legend Car in between when I was playing softball and softball tournaments. And then as soon as I turned 16, we went and bought a dirt modified and started racing dirt modifieds around.
So, dirt modifieds, what is it, 410 cubic inch race cars?
Yeah, well, we run like three different series around here. The NASCAR division is a 410 cubic inch, usually a flat tappet motor.
They're fast.
Yeah, they are.
How big's the track you race on?
Most of the tracks I go to are half miles. The track in Oskaloosa is a half mile, and we also race down in Kansas City at Lakeside, which is a fairly high banked dirt track.
So when you, isn't it quite a jump? I mean, in one respect, it's moving up to the ASA late model, but you're going slower, aren't you?
Yeah, I had to learn a lot about. I couldn't use the horsepower to save me anymore. I kind of had to, you know, be more consistent in my driving and use the momentum of the car to help gain the speed of it.
Gotcha. But, so again, now, what is it that you're trying to achieve? You're racing in the ASA Challenge Division and also the Northern Division. Are you running the Challenge Division full-time, or are you just picking select races?
We're just picking select races in the Challenge Division. We picked the two home state ones in Iowa, Cedar Rapids and Iowa, but
yeah,
we're hopefully running the whole North Series.
So what have you learned so far about this whole deal that maybe you didn't know about?
Well, there's a lot of things that happen on asphalt that don't happen on dirt, like setting the cars up and everything is quite a bit different than what our dirt cars are.
So is it more difficult? And we have some funny things going on here in the studio, don't mind me. Has it been more difficult than you expected, or has it been easier?
Well, learning about the car, since I'm not there to work on the late model for the asphalt, it's kind of harder for me to pick up on everything that happens. You know, I try to learn as much as I can at the track. But it's just being around the modified, being the one that works on the modified and maintains it, able to set that up a little bit better than I could an asphalt car. I'm still learning quite a bit about it.
So you do a lot of work on your modified, then you actually get your hands dirty.
Yep. We just had to put a new rear clip on it, and as soon as we got the car back, we've been rebuilding it starting Monday. We've been rebuilding it, hopefully, to be able to race tomorrow night.
Well, I got to ask you, you know, it's obviously, I'm sure you run across this, it's really unusual for a young lady like yourself to get down and wrench on cars. How did you get in? How did that come about? I mean, is this something that you got from your other family members, or how did it come about?
I really don't know. Everybody used to buy me Barbies and everything, and I just wouldn't play with them or nothing. But you know, my dad demo derbied, and you know, I enjoyed doing that, watching him do that and stuff, and I just kind of enjoyed red spoilers and motorcycles when I was younger.
Yeah. So you're really learning about the ASA late model car.
Yeah, we're trying. I try to pick up as much as I can at the track.
Yeah. But have you had I don't know, a lot of the ladies I've talked to before and who race, they always run into some guys that really don't like racing with them, or maybe give them a hard time. And then, have you run into any of that in your racing career so far?
I really haven't. Everybody seems to be pretty good to me about just seeing me as another driver.
Yeah. What's the hardest part of it for you?
What was that?
Yeah, I said, what is the hardest part of the whole deal for you? Like, when you go to the ASA race, what's the most difficult aspect of the racing deal for you?
I don't know. Just probably trying to learn about the cars is the most difficult thing I'm having. I mean, I'm not around them really that much except for when I'm actually at the track.
Gotcha. And do you have sponsorship on the number? You drive number 54, right? Do you have sponsorship on that car?
Yeah, well, the sponsorship's kind of been my dad. We own and retail a Goodyear store. So pretty much we have Goodyear on everything that we race.
Yeah, that's cool. So what are your aspirations? How far do you want to take this deal?
Well, I'd just like to make racing a career, you know, if it's on asphalt or dirt.
Yeah. So, have you been to any racing schools, or have you had any deals with any development teams or anything like that?
No. I'm thinking about going to a couple driving schools just to hopefully, you know, better myself at what I'm trying to do. But I don't have any development programs or nothing I'm going to.
Yeah. So, when you what is your next race?
In the asphalt asphalt, it's Grundy. And more so Illinois.
Gotcha. So, do you do like when you're, what do you do when you're not racing? Like, do you, I mean, you're like 21?
I'm 20.
20? What do you do when you're not racing cars or working on them?
I'm not working on them or racing them. I go out with a bunch of my friends and we go ride four-wheelers.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got to be doing, you're doing motorsports one way or the other pretty much all the time.
Yeah, we have a lot of nights where we start riding four-wheelers at, you know, 5 o'clock in the afternoon after everybody gets off work, and we just ride probably until 1 in the morning. We just enjoy having fun.
Yeah. You know, at this track where you race out in Iowa, like tomorrow night, for example, how many cars will you have in the field that you run in the modifieds?
Well, being a Wednesday night show, it's kind of hard to say depending on if people can get off work or where they work at. But usually we'll have near 20, 25 some cars. I know when I go to Lakeside to race down in Kansas City, there's usually 30 to 40 some cars that show up.
Wow, is that's for a Saturday night show?
That would be a Friday night show, yep.
Wow. And it's always that way, huh?
It's pretty much always that way. There was one point where the gas prices got so high that, you know, a few people decided to stay home, but there's usually about 30 to 40 cars.
So is this like IMCA racing?
It is. I mean, the general same rules. I do also try to make some of the USMTS races, which are bigger motors, and you can run a rear spoiler, but pretty much the same rules.
Gotcha. That's interesting. So did you meet Lynn St. James?
Yes, I've actually went to Lynn's development program.
Yeah.
Down in Phoenix.
Tell us about that.
Her program was just, you know, more, it wasn't really on track. It was more dealing with the media and trying to gain sponsorship. It really helped me a lot with the media, how to be able to talk to them, being comfortable talking to the media instead of being shy all the time like I usually am.
Right, gotcha. Yeah, we had Lynn St. James was on our show not too long ago, and we were talking a lot about, of course, women in racing and getting sponsorship for women and so forth. And in some regards, it should be probably a little easier. In some regards, maybe a little harder, huh?
Yeah, everybody thinks it'd be easier being a female getting a sponsor, but right now I'm having trouble finding a sponsorship, so we're out there looking for it.
Yeah. So now again, where will your next race be?
Well, in the dirt modified, it'll be Oskaloosa, Iowa, and in the ASA car, it'll be Morris, Illinois, this Saturday.
Yeah, that'll be the second. How did you do in the first opening race?
You know, I don't remember what place I actually finished. I think maybe 19th.
Yeah.
At ORP.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. We'll be watching for you, and I'll tell you what we'll do is, as the year progresses, maybe we'll call you back later on in the year and see how you're doing and how far you've come along and what lessons you've learned.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right. Thanks a lot, Allison.
Yep.
We'll talk to you soon.
Yep, thanks for having me.